You can follow, use the handle at GoDucksKG. Kelly Graves joins us. Coach, we live in unprecedented times. We last spoke 17 days ago, so I always feel like I should ask, how is Team Graves doing?
Team Graves is doing well. Yeah, we're doing good. I can't believe 17 days. You know, it's funny that the days don't differ much. So it's hard to kind of put that into perspective, you know. That's been a while, buddy.
Yeah,
you gotta check in more often.
Yeah, I always have to kind of do a double check. Was that the weekend? Was that a Wednesday? But hopefully we're getting it together bit by bit. I'm glad to hear all is well. One of the things that my wife gets when we meet people is, how do you put up with the sports? And she's kind of a fan. You know, we've gone to Yankee Stadium, a lot of Oregon games. So I'm curious, you and your three sons obviously are jocks of the block, big sports fans. Is your wife, Mary, a huge basketball fan, or does she occasionally do the, all right, go do what you want, enough is enough with you and your sports?
Well, does she have a choice? I mean, you know, if she wants to be hanging around us, there's going to be basketball or some other sport in the background. But no, she's a basketball fan. She's a sports fan. You know, she has three brothers and a dad who's really into it. So, you know, she's had to be that way, you know, through her life. But she's a trooper, because I know she'd much rather be watching a good movie or documentary or, you know, Housewives of Beverly Hills or something, you know. No, this weekend, more, there was a glutton of sports on TV. I heard you talking about that earlier, and I had to get up and move and leave and do something. Otherwise, I could have easily just sat and done nothing all day long.
Yeah, so, it was nice to have, actually. You know,
well, and I would have taken the afternoon off for a little while, but then Justin was playing and playing well, and it's like, well, I got to stay and watch this.
No, no question about it. I think a lot of people had their 1:30 to 4:30 plans changed on the fly around here. No question. You know, I saw Coach Campbell posted some great video on Twitter. The latest was Taylor Chavez. And I remember when you and I first spoke when she was a recruit, you said, well, she'll compete like Sabrina. And I thought, oh, there's a coach for you. But, of course, that's what she is. She's the ultimate heart and soul competitor. You know, a player like that who will run through fire, who will now be a junior. So along with Boley, I mean, how big a leadership role do you see TC filling?
Oh, huge. I mean, she's a big part. She's been part of, you know, a couple of our best teams ever. And like we talked about, you know, years ago, she's got that same mentality that Sabrina and some of those graduating seniors that we had. So they've passed the mantle on to her, and Aaron and Lydia. I think those are the three that I would consider our leadership right now. You know, and Jazz to some degree, because she's been through it for a year. But yeah, Taylor has all the intangibles that you need to continue a great culture that we have, as well as produce on the court. Yeah, should I be concerned? I mean, I kind of videos and drills and plays and things like that's kind of my shtick on social media. Campbell's starting to move in on my territory a little bit, Tan, and I don't know what to do about that.
Yeah, but it was really good stuff. So, you know, at least if he's interfering, at least he's got good quality content.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I tweeted out a week or so ago a graphic of the four kids that we have returning, our dead eyes, our sharpshooters. And when you look at Taylor Mikesell, one of our, you know, our transfer that's eligible this year from Maryland, and Mboli and Jazz Shelley and Taylor Chavez, I mean, that is the best group of three-point shooters in the nation. Nobody's got more firepower than we do. And you surround somebody like a Sedona Prince with that kind of shooting prowess, and we're going to be a tough guard for people.
No question. Talking with Coach Graves, and along those lines, the video you post, I mentioned Coach Campbell, and obviously you watch so much film and break it down. And I'm kind of curious, is that the rule? Do most or many coaches, are they film junkies? Or are there some head coaches who maybe are like, you know, let my assistants handle the breakdown because it might not be their thing?
I think we all enjoy it. That's what I like about this staff. I think we're all junkies when it comes to basketball and to film work and that kind of stuff. I will tell you that our staff is unique in that we don't mind sharing. You know, I put some of our special sets, you know, our go-to plays that we might do down the stretch out on social media, and people, you know, will reply to me or DM me and say, Coach, what are you doing? You're giving away our secrets. And it's like, you know, I really don't care. I mean, at the end of the day, I still have Sabrina and Ruthie, and you got to find out a way to stop them. Everybody in the world knew we were going to pick and roll, and everybody knew we had this set and that set, but okay, well, go ahead and stop it. So I got no problem with that, and I think that's great. I think we're trying to better the game a little bit. And so if some young coaches or you know, even veteran high school coaches or college coaches can look at some of these videos and these workouts, and it helps them improve their teams, then, you know what, we're helping the game. So I encourage my staff to do that. That's great, and I'll continue to do it as well.
You know, one of the great quotes from Vince Lombardi was, you can tell the other team what you're going to run, but if you out-execute them, you'll beat them. So there you go, along those lines.
Yeah, you nailed it. I always say the worst designed offense in the world can beat the best defense in the world if it's executed properly. So
no, I'm with you there. So here we are. It's Monday, September 21st. We know the announcement came down that you have a game scheduled for November 25th. So what the process moving forward, just getting student-athletes on campus, practice, testing, for somebody who's just hearing about this, how would you explain where we are in that timeline?
Well, I'll tell you, from what I understand, this is where we're at right now. So I sent my team home before as the fires got bad. They were scheduled to go home for a couple of weeks anyway, so they'll be rolling back in about a, you know, by this weekend. They have to isolate for 7 days. We'll be tested, then we can begin probably somewhere around the 2nd, 3rd, or 4th of October. We can work out still only in small groups and with masks. As soon as we get word from the local health authorities that we can move beyond that, I think we're close to getting the okay from Governor Brown, then I think we'll be able to progress, hopefully, to doing some team activities that may involve defense, you know, some five-on-five even, some limited scrimmage. And then, you know, if everything again continues to progress, we can start practice, I think, somewhere around October 14th or 15th, where we have our 20-hour weeks. We can have, you know, 6 days a week, lengthy, good, solid practices, and then potentially a game start date of November 24th. But Pac-12 still got to sign off on that. They haven't yet. The governor and the local health authorities as well. So there's still some, you know, some steps we got to take to get this done, but we're hoping and it seems like we're headed towards an okay on all of that. But again, Steve, like you and I have said before, dude, that could change tomorrow, man.
Yep. I want to get your thoughts on the NBA playoffs, because this Western Conference Finals, you saw the Lakers crushed in the opener, and last night's game was wild. I saw on Twitter you pointed out the performance of Nikola Jokic, who almost beat him single-handedly down the stretch. But what about that guy's game, what it's grown into? And let's not forget, he's only 25.
I know. He's quickly becoming my favorite player. I think you nailed it when I heard you talking earlier. Very patient. He's got a great basketball mind. He, you know, high IQ, and is such a good passer. I think that's his most impressive quality. But, you know, he is a playmaker, and you just don't see many people like him. It just seems like players like that come along, you know, from time to time, and you just go, whoa, they're kind of a unicorn. There's nobody really like him. And he doesn't look the part, does he?
No, he doesn't.
He looks like he could be playing rec ball down at the, you know, the local Y. But the dude's just a killer, and I've been impressed. I like that team. I'm a LeBron guy, so I'm pulling for the Lakers. But at the same time, if the Nuggets win, I wouldn't be upset about that. I think the Heat Nuggets would be a heck of a series. I don't know if the networks would want it, but
no.
I think hardcore basketball fans would love it.
So the coach in you, 2.1 seconds to go, Frank Vogel lets his best passer inbound the ball. Rondo's got a lot of options, most probably thinking LeBron. Then, you know, obviously goes to Anthony Davis off a screen. The coach in you, how did you like that design?
Nice design, and you had, it looked like another option. Maybe he could have cut to the basket for some kind of a lob. I think Plumlee expected that. But no, that was, you know, I think with that amount of time, there were a lot of things you could do. You had time to catch and shoot. I don't know if they had time for one dribble, but no, that was nice. And Jokic was almost there. He was just a little late.
Yep.
I think they were supposed to switch that a little earlier, and he was got there just a little bit too late.
A couple final thoughts for Coach Graves. So your first superstar, Courtney Vandersloot, first in the 25-year history of the WNBA to average 10 assists. Of course, you know, she was highly touted, third pick in her draft. Her senior season with the Zags, she averaged double-digit assists. Safe to say that she's just another one of those. Doesn't matter if she's a vet. She won't rest on her laurels. She just gets better and better and better.
Yeah, I think she's just coming into her prime. You know, her confidence level is, you know, never been this high. And I think she now believes that she is the best point guard in the world. And she's proven that game in and game out. But, yeah, she's been fun to watch. And Ruthie, I know, learned a lot from her. I think Courtney took Ruthie under her wing and really worked with her. And I thought you saw Ruthie improve through the season. Now she's headed to Turkey, and then Courtney will soon be headed to Russia. You know, it's kind of a shame that they can't make the kind of living playing in the WNBA that would allow them to just stay here in the off season. You know, they kind of have to go overseas to make enough money to make it worth it. So, you know, hopefully that'll change one of these days. But yeah, Courtney's had an amazing season, and I would say I didn't see the MVP voting. Did they show that? She had to have finished in the top four or five.
I didn't see it either. That'd give me something to check on. But no, she had a remarkable year, and we know Sabrina's season ended prematurely. But you mentioned Ruthie, but overall, Satu, who had an historic performance for a rookie, and where Ruthie started and where she ended, I mean, you know, as their coach, as a fan, you've got to be pretty pleased and impressed with how their rookie season went.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. They proved, all three of them, that they're going to be really good professionals. They're going to be in this game for a long time. And, you know, I think Ruthie ended up leading the league in field goal percentage, but I'm not sure she had enough attempts to qualify.
No, I know what you mean.
For their leadership.
No, she, we know one thing about her. I mean, there's always nicknames. She's Ruthie McBuckets. She gets the ball, she scores at a ridiculously high percentage.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, she does. Hey, right. You know what? I was going to tell you, you want a little trivia?
Sure.
So you mentioned Billy Casper as one of the former U.S. Open winners at Wingfoot. You know, when my family moved to Southern Utah, St. George, we were on Bloomington Country Club. That's where our house was. It once belonged to Billy Casper.
Oh, really?
He helped design the course, and as part of his payment, they gave him any lot on the golf course that he wanted, and it happened to be that one. It was on number 11, a little dogleg right, and you looked straight into the country or to the clubhouse. And that's where I, you know, went through high school.
Wow.
Billy Casper's old house, man.
Gotta love that. Small world and good trivia. Folks, he's Kelly Graves. He's your head basketball coach of the Ducks. Always great catching up. Glad you and your family are doing well, Coach. And we'll keep the timeline moving forward and chat again soon.
Steve, you got it, man. Hey, and listen, well wishes go out to everybody, man, affected by these fires. It's it's been heartwarming to see the response of the community, but, you know, still heartbreaking to see those displaced and stuff. So just let them know that Ducks women's basketball, you know, we're thinking of them, all right?
You got it. Word is out. Consider it done. Good talking with you, Coach.
All right, buddy.
Have a good one.
See ya.